Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, let's set the stage for this. Let's travel back in time to around 1981.
Okay.
I was but a wee child, so I was not actually watching the news or reading the New York Times, but it was reported in the New York Times that the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, headquartered here in Atlanta.
That's right, our fair city.
People who watch The Walking Dead know that. That's their big claim to fame. And people who play the board game Pandemic. So CDC, Centers for Disease Control, they were suddenly really interested in 18 deaths that had occurred over the last 4 years. They were all apparently healthy Laotian refugees.
All men except for one woman, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one woman, the rest men. They were all ethnic Hmong people. These were a native ethnic group that had fled Laos due to some severe crackdowns.
Yeah, in front of read too, this is an isolated culture similar to that of the American Indian, mm-hmm. and their religion is an animist one. So yes. It's governed by spirits and manifestations of the soul.
Yeah, like a lot of old religions, have this kind of vibe going on. But they'd escaped some brutal conditions, mm-hmm. There was a lot of stress, most likely going on. It was some post-traumatic stress syndrome disorder as well, and they're winding up dead, like in the wee hours of the morning, in their sleep. Dying.
Right. Completely mysterious and actually really chilling.
Yeah.
That these mostly men were going to sleep and they were fit people. And yep, all of a sudden, this is happening all over the country, right? Because they're spread out in different cities. It's just one area of the country.
Right. Which different
they're
refugee
experiencing
groups.
Yeah. This. Yeah. So doctors started to put it together and started to say, this is very odd that these same people, these same refugees, these group of people are dying in their sleep. What's going on?
Yeah, one thing that they thought might be going on was the possibility, and they were looking into this, the possibility that they were being scared to death by nightmares in their sleep, that nightmares were killing them in their sleep.
Yeah, and at that time, too, they termed it Oriental Nightmare Death Syndrome.
Yeah.
Like, which, of course, has been updated since then.
Yeah, like every part of that, except for the syndrome, has been updated for various reasons. As we'll explore, it's not really about nightmares. And, of course, we don't use the word Oriental anymore either. But what's fascinating about it is that it does really give you the chills, because there is that, there's the possibility that something in our dreams could kill us. It just continues to fascinate us. I mean, you see it in our stories, in our fiction, in our mythology, in our like third grade lunchroom conversations. Oh, you know, where you hear maybe for the first time, oh, did you know that if you fall in your dream, if you don't wake up before you hit the ground, you'll die?
Right, right. We always have the boogeyman in the back of our minds, right? Mm-hmm. Can't help it. No matter what culture you're from, you have some sort of story. And the reason why this is frightening is that it actually does bear some weight. And we'll talk about this a little bit, but you possibly could scare yourself to death to a certain degree. And
yeah, it's possible.
It's possible. And we'll talk about that. It's not something that obviously happens all the time, or else we would all be dropping dead right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, don't lose any sleep over it.
No, but, nothing to lose sleep over, but it is an interesting a reality for some people. Mm-hmm. And so you can see that in some cultures that this idea has really taken root, this idea that you could die in your sleep, or that something could come and visit you in the middle of the night and basically take your life.
Yeah, and as we've discussed in the past, I mean, sleep and dreams, it's a state of the human mind where a lot of the rules sort of shift and change. I mean, obviously, the brain is tricked into believing that that the dream is reality, mm-hmm. during the dream, for the most part, unless you're lucid dreaming. That alone, you're in a world where suddenly even the most fantastic of happenings is believed by the mind. Mm-hmm. And then you throw in all these various, parasomnia events that we've discussed in the past, and it becomes even weirder. So you're saying
sleep paralysis,
right,
for instance.
Right, where you have woken up, but your body is still locked down, mm-hmm. Because the body sort of goes into the state of paralysis to keep you from, say, you know, your kung fu fighting a zombie in your dream. You mm-hmm. don't want to do that in your bed next to your significant other,
right,
because then a disaster ensues. Sleep paralysis, as we've discussed before, you wake up, but those locks are still down. So you're like, I'm awake, but I can't move. What's going on? Add that you may have just been having some sort of troubling dream.
Yeah. Add that to the mix of when you have sleep apnea, mm-hmm. and at times some people can wake up and be a little bit confused about what state they're in, sleep or whether or not they're actually waking, and they'll have a sexual arousal, basically, in mostly a sleep state. And so take that with the sleep paralysis, cultural taboos,
yeah,
cultural stories, and all of a sudden you've got a succubus or incubus,
right,
hanging out with,
yeah,
you in bed, right?
Yeah, like the idea I like to think about, like, take a medieval monk. They're trying to live this really non-sexual life,
mm-hmm.
and then in the middle of the night, whoa, you're aroused, you're dreaming, you're waking up in this weird state. So you end up with this cognitive dissonance where what's happening is at a sharp contrast with what should be happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so we end up having to create this external version of you know, this.
It must have been a demon.
Yeah, it must have been a demon. Must have been a spirit. There was something external attacking me. And you see shades of this throughout different cultures and mythologies.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about folklore a little bit more surrounding this. But I did want to mention that in South Asian populations, that this sudden unexplained death syndrome that we're going to get into seems to be a bit higher in this population. And you will also see that there is a lot of folklore around this idea of being visited by a demon in mm-hmm. your sleep. In fact, let's talk about that a little bit.
So what do you got? You got a list of suspects here?
I do. This is actually from the 14 Times article that you had sent me. And in Japan, this type of death in your dream, or what they think is happening, people dying from their nightmares, is called pokkuri. The Filipinos call it bangungat or badibat. And the Hmong people... Badibat, you're going to say that the entire podcast, aren't you? And the Hmong people of Vietnam and Laos, of course, we just talked about the Laotian people that died in their sleep suddenly and unexpectedly. They call it Sab Swang. And in Thailand, it's called the Widow Ghost, who comes to steal away the souls of young men. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly young men that are experiencing this, right? So just imagine this. Imagine that this is happening in your culture, this sudden death among healthy men mostly. So what do? They defend themselves by wearing lipstick at night.
I read that. Yeah.
So that the ghost mistakes them for women and leaves them alone.
It's also an excellent excuse for why you woke up the next morning with lipstick all over your face, you know?
That too. Yeah. I had to defend myself from the body bot. Or, yeah.
It's like I wasn't out smoozing it up. I wasn't out wearing lipstick. I'm a protective measure against the spirits of the night. You know how it goes.
Yeah. That's just, of course. And then you're like, oh, okay, that is this ironclad excuse. I cannot say anything about that. But let's talk about that body bot just a little bit more because I find it fascinating. In the Philippines, the body bot is an obese female demon that lives in the trees.
There is a picture of this that you found, artist interpretation. And I will definitely link to it in the accompanying blog post for this.
Yes.
Which you'll find on the How Stuff Works blogs and linked on the Facebook. Can you describe this image?
She appears to be made out of poo. Yeah. That's the first thing that I think came to mind for you. And then the second is that she's got red, lasers that are coming out of her eye holes and her mouth hole.
Right.
And she's sitting on the poor unsuspecting, person, like sitting on their face and suffocating them to death.
Well, you see plenty of artist depictions of a night terror or a night spirit setting on the chest. Like there's the famous series of paintings, European paintings, where you see the little squat little man sitting on the person's chest, and there's like a nightmare horse or just a nightmare sticking its head through the curtain behind.
Yeah.
That's a famous image. So the idea of sitting on the chest is well established, but sitting on the face, that's just, that really threw me.
Well, and the artist's depiction too of whether or not he or she knew it, maybe this demon being made out of poo makes it even a little bit more, unsavory.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you might want to know, or you might say to yourself, why in the world would she exact this revenge on this person anyway?
Right.
And the reason is
What's
because
her beef?
Her beef is she was sitting up in that tree. You hacked it down.
Oh,
and then you used it for either your bedpost or as a support beam in your home. So she conveniently shapeshifts into one of the little peg holes.
Okay.
And then when you fall asleep, that is when she makes her move.
Again, we get back to these animist views of the world in which every part of nature has some sort of spirit to it. And therefore, if you're striking out against anything in the world, you're potentially ticking off a spirit.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, it's kind of, again, it's the cultural thing. Like, don't denude the forest.
I can't take a walk in the park without potentially angering the spirit world. It's really a touchy world.
It's a very touchy world. But, I mean, there's definitely an environmental factor there, right? Don't denude the forest.
Yeah.
Or she will sit on your face. But let's talk about what was really going on with those Laotians, the 18.
Yeah, we will get to that right after this quick break.
This podcast is brought to you by Intel, the sponsors of tomorrow, and the Discovery Channel. At Intel, we believe curiosity is the spark which drives innovation. Join us at curiosity.com and explore the answers to life's questions.
All right, so 18 dead Laotians, all in the course of a four-year period.
Yeah, four of them in an 18-month period, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which was really freaky.
And all of them seemingly healthy. These are not old people. They're not infirm. They're not suffering from some sort of weird illness. They're just suddenly dead. And they died in their sleep, and there's the suspicion, what if it was a nightmare?
Well, and again, back in the day, 1981, they had called it the nightmare death syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And this sort of became the key candidate for what was going on. They thought, oh, okay, someone just died in their sleep. And again, you're dealing with people who have been refugees who have experienced lots and lots of stress, right?
Yes.
Lots of upheaval, lots of change. But what they find out is that this is actually something called Brugada syndrome.
Yeah, it's the underlying cause for the sudden unexplained death.
And it's noteworthy that it's connected to people of the Southeast Asian descent.
Yeah, because it's a genetic factor. It's in the same way certain genetic markers appear in certain ethnic groups more than others or appear in exclusively in certain ethnic groups. Southeast Asia is where you encounter this, or people of Southeast Asian descent.
Yeah.
Yeah, not everyone who has a condition dies in their sleep. And it actually has nothing to do with nightmares. It's an inherited heart rhythm disorder. And we can actually pinpoint the gene responsible to it. It's a gene called SCN5A, which controls the flow of sodium ions into heart cells. All right? This flow of ions generates the electrical field that controls heartbeat regularity.
Isn't that trippy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when the flow fails, the heart fibrillates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew that we had an electrical field around our heart, but to mm-hmm. think that it's so sensitive that something like that could just trip it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you've got these irregularities. And in fact, there's Dr. Pedro Brugada of Brugada syndrome. He came across this unusual pattern.
Oh, the shark fin.
Yeah. He found that he had a patient who he suspected had something weird going on. And so he hooked him up to an EEG, and it showed this activity in the heart. And it, as you say, it looked like a shark fin, which became known as Brugada sign. A sign.
Brugada sign.
It's the Brugada sign. I don't know. He's Italian now, right? Brugada. But what is one of the key indicators that the patient could suffer from this really rare syndrome. And that, my friend, is what was happening with our friends, the Loatians, that all died in this 4-year period.
Yeah. Now, the cool thing is that we can treat this. We can, with severe cases, you can actually put an electrical implant in the body that will address the problem. In the foreseeable future, I mean, we're going to be able to use like gene therapies on this and tackle the mutation head on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's even more encouraging.
Yeah, which is, it's awful that people had died from that. And certainly it must have been terrifying in that culture too, because we all know we have this confirmation bias, right? We take mm-hmm. all these different details from around our lives and we put it together to make some sort of case about something. So imagine you're from this, from Laos, and this happens, and you say, ah, yes, it was the demon that got them,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they had these weird amount of people dying from something that was completely unexplained heretofore. Now we know about the 18 Laotians, but that doesn't explain why we have a disproportionately large amount of deaths in this culture, again, stemming, it seems, from fear.
Yeah.
It's possible that you could be scared to death, right?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, you have to sort of break down like what happens when we get afraid. Obviously, there's a physical manifestation to the fear. It's flight or fright. Something bad is happening, and your body needs to prep for possibly running away from it or mm-hmm. duking it out. You know, so your strength surges through your muscles, so you can run or punch something. Your pupils dilate. You start breathing faster, and a number of chemicals, a whole cocktail of things, including adrenaline, begin pumping through your bloodstream. So the activity in the body is intensified.
Okay. So you have that going on, and then you have something that's almost like a self-fulfilled prophecy. Cause again, you've got this cultural equation going on. And in one of the studies I read, they were looking at, and I can't remember if it's a Korean or it's a Chinese similar word for four and death, but they're very, very close.
Hmm.
So four and death is not a good number in this culture. And what they were finding is that there seemed to be a larger number of deaths happening on the fourth of each month.
Huh.
And it's not that four has some sort of power over people in this culture. It's that people were sort of anticipating that the fourth was going to come up. So if you have, some sort of condition or you're under a lot of stress, it's very possible that you could almost talk yourself into saying, oh gosh, the fourth is coming up, and it becomes like this self-fulfilled prophecy for yourself. And Molly Edmonds wrote this great article on howstuffworks.com called Can You Really Scare Someone to Death? And she was saying that it's very hard to say how often these sudden deaths occur, because most accounts of sudden deaths are in otherwise healthy people, and it's anecdotal, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what she did say, that one of the most famous reports of sudden death was published in 1942 by Harvard physiologist Walter B. Cannon. And he reported a phenomenon that he called a voodoo death. So what he found is that a lot of sudden deaths were occurring in places where there was some form of voodoo or black magic being practiced. South America, Africa, Australia, and New Zealand. And he recounted the sudden deaths of healthy men who had been cursed by a medicine man accused of eating forbidden food items and injured by spears that were said to be enchanted. So Cannon noted that many of the men have possibly brought about their own deaths by refusing food and water, but also that they died essentially because of this fear that was perpetuated in their society.
Huh. So the cultural scenario, the supernatural scenario is created.
Yes.
In which being scared to death as possible.
Yeah, I mean, what this article
set the stage, cast the characters, yes. And then that's the outcome of the play.
And then what he was saying is, I think it's an overactive sympathetic nervous system. So the conditions are there. All of a sudden, your amygdala, right, which is so great for trying to ferret out a saber-toothed tiger, is overactive now in this other instance where the risk, is really actually low.
This old man with a stick and some bones is not going to actually kill you, but
it should be a very low risk.
Right.
But that person in the amygdala and the body is now perceiving it as a real threat and reacting to it. And this is really going to stress out all the tissues in your heart, the rest of your body. It's really going to take a toll on it. Again, making it a little bit easier for you to possibly die from this, especially if you're not taking any food or water.
But they're like cats when cats get sick, then. Like, it creates that scenario, like, where cats refuse to eat and then they die. Because it's like, what? Like, they're sick. I'm not going to eat anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they kind of just seem to batten down the hatches when cats get sick. Sort of like, just leave me alone. Let me see if I can heal myself. And I'm just going to go over to this corner.
So, the witch doctor is essentially making them act like a cat.
It's possible. Yeah. It's possible. But this article talked about another instance in which Boston neurologist Martin A. Samuels believes that the sudden death of the former Enron CEO, Kenneth Lay, in July 2006 could have been the result of fear of a looming prison sentence.
Or black magic.
That's very possible that he had some voodoo dolls with sticks in them with his name on it. But there's also something called broken heart syndrome. Which believe that people die from
a broken heart.
And again, it's not that they die from a broken heart per se, but it could be that extreme emotions cause something that looks like heart failure or a heart attack. But in fact, it's a little bit different because blood clots and clogged arteries that cause cardiac conditions were absent. Instead, the heart was just weak from stressful emotions.
Oh. My mom claims that she almost had a heart attack when she saw the first Dirty Harry movie in the theaters.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so she was frightened? She was what?
It was just so tense. It was so, exhilarating, that she just, she was just like, oh my goodness, I think I almost had a heart attack.
Well, have you ever had someone sneak up on you and you really literally gasp for breath and your whole body just stops? It just kind of shudders itself?
Yeah, every time you come up to my desk while I'm listening to music on my headphones, yeah.
I try to tap gently and get your attention. Before I scare you.
Well, it's not every time, but sometimes I'll be really into something and somebody will come up and it'll be like, So yeah, I that happens every day.
Then it's possible. The good news here is that it's very rare to die from something like this. I mean, obviously you'd have to have some sort of conditions in place. And when you think about the Laotian refugees, again, this is an instance where they were undergoing extreme stress, right?
Right.
And emotionally, well, I'm sure, and physically, we're having to deal with that, and that could certainly have eroded their health to a degree. Although they were otherwise healthy,
So what we're saying
and they
here
had
is
the gene.
Yeah. I mean, the gene was the main factor there, but from what we looked at, it is conceivable that one could have a nightmare, and if one's physical condition was such to facilitate this, you could be scared to death by a nightmare. But then who would know, right? I mean,
well, that's the problem, right? It's kind of hard to do a double blind study on that one.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Until we really get that Inception technology going, and then we'll figure it out.
We're getting there.
It's also worth noting, and I did a blog about this aspect of it. This New York Times article came out in 1981 and about the CDC study and made the headlines. And then in 1984, the first Nightmare on Elm Street movie came out.
Oh, right. You have a great blog post about this.
Yes, this was a news item that partially inspired Wes Craven to create Nightmare on Elm Street. So if you like those movies, this is where it came from. And if you don't like those movies, this is a story you can blame it on.
Yeah. But again, nothing to fear, really. I mean, when you think about it, low risk here, folks, when you think about actual high risk situations in our lives, like getting into our cars, that's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So be careful out there, please.
One more thing before we move on to listener mail. I was looking through Carol Rose's Giants, Monsters, and Dragons, an encyclopedia of folklore, legend, and myth, looking for some sleep-related demons. Mm-hmm. And I think all the sleep Most of the sleep demons are hiding in her other book about fairies that I don't have.
Yeah.
I keep some serious scientific books on hand here at HowStuffWorks.
But you're not going to bring the fairies book to work is what I'm hearing.
Well, I'm going to have to buy it. I don't own it.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I'll put it on my bookshelf. I'm not scared.
It did have an item about the Sandman.
Yes.
Which this is fascinating. It says, this is the name of the fearsome nursery bogey in the late 18th and early 19th centuries of England. The Sandman was a vicious and terrifying ogre who came during the night to throw handfuls of coarse sand into the eyes of children who would not go to sleep. And it gets worse. When the eyes of the screaming child were rubbed, they dropped out all bloody on the floor. The Sandman gathered these eyes to take in his sack as food for his long-beaked progeny nesting in the crook of the crescent moon. This was the image of the Sandman nursery bogey in the fairy tale written by E.T.A. Hoffman in 1817. And then in subsequent years, there are also other folk tales where there are fairies that bring like sleep dust and put it in your eyes. And along with those ideas, we ended up turning the Sandman into this more benign, or even benevolent spirit that comes in and sprinkles sand in your eyes and makes you go to sleep.
Makes you sleepy instead of rubbing your eyes out all bloody on the floor.
And feeding them to some sort of bird-like creatures that live on the moon. It's terrifying. So,
you know, I've been looking for a good story to read to my daughter.
Yeah,
we went through the whole Dr. Seuss thing. So that's thank you. Yeah.
Just set her down and have a talk with us. Like, look,
the Sandman tonight.
This is how it works.
Yeah. That's how it's going to go down.
Well, cool. Well, let me get to the listener mail here. So we recently covered electronic music, or at least we sort of did an introduction to electronic music because, as we mentioned, we can't possibly cover everything about it.
It is very vast.
We had some people wrote in with some interesting feedback on that. Well, a number of people, actually. A listener by the name of Ian wrote in and said, "Dear Robert and Julie, I love the podcast, especially the recent episode on electric music. But when Robert said he did not know what Nintendo Step was, I thought I'd clarify." And this is good for me because I truly did not know what it was. Nintendo Step is a subgenre of dubstep, but instead of using electronic synthesizers on samplers, computers, or keyboards, they use chiptunes, which is music from older video game consoles, think original Mario, to create the warbling robotic sounds of normal dubstep. He included a few samples, which I listened to, which I think they were from Rusko, and they were pretty interesting. Thanks for getting me through a few six-hour bus rides to X-Country ski races. Sincerely, Ian.
Oh, cool.
There you go, Nintendo Step. I think we're all richer for knowing what that is. It is, you know, part of that trend where you see a lot of artists going back to older electronic sounds and bringing them back. Like I've really been into this one chillwave. I guess you'd call him chillwave artist that goes by the name Tom Cruise, like Tom Cruise with the letters reversed.
And for that alone, I will listen.
And his style is like very much calling back to like 1980s. Kind of like Miami Vice soundtrack kind of stuff. But in a good way. It sounds like listening to the music makes you feel like you're in the best possible, like...
Convertible?
I'm thinking more like psychedelic Miami Vice movie of some kind. But
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Tubbs and Crockett, there you go.
And we also heard from Jay. Jay wrote in and said, "I just listened to your electronic music podcast and really enjoyed it. However, I was surprised you didn't mention Vocaloid music. It's been around long enough to not be a fad, even though it is wildly popular in Japan and East Asia. There have been some very successful concerts in the U.S. The amazing part about this is that Vocaloid singers are completely virtual. They are software programs, not people. So in order to have a concert, the Vocaloid characters have to take the stage as holograms. I hope this subject will blow your mind. It certainly has blown mine. Sincerely, Jay." I think Josh Clark did a blog post about this a while back where it's like the frontman or front woman for the group, the singer, is a hologram on stage. And people were like going nuts, but the main character, the main persona of this band does not exist in physical reality.
I'm thinking about this movie called Wild Palms by Oliver Stone, and I feel like there was a section of that movie that had something very similar.
Oh, cool.
You could just beam in your own music. You'd have like I don't know. I'm thinking this, like the Pointer Sisters. Huh. I don't know.
Well, it makes you wonder, like in the future, it's like we depend more and more on holographic pop stars. And then would we be able to, I mean, would we be able to preserve past pop stars this way or recreate them? So, like, would you have holographic Elvis concerts?
Well, I mean, I can definitely see cable companies really cottoning to this, right? Because they would say, okay, well, we're going to have Celine Dion or Justin Bieber, you know, whomever at this point, come on and we're going to, you know, for extra $100, you can get them beamed into your living room.
Oh, man, imagine the benefit. What's the song that they did, like the sort of feed the children kind of things where they...
We Are the World.
Yeah, We Are the World.
Yeah.
Yeah, what if... Imagine the We Are the World concerts of the future. You could actually go to this concert and they would have holograms of like all these like past pop stars and there would be, you know, be like Beethoven and Elvis.
Well, see, I'm kind of loving this too for a cocktail party, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got, like you said, Elvis and Beethoven hanging. I mean, they're obviously not able to interact, I would assume, but still.
No, you make them interact, yeah.
You make them eat all the nachos.
Yeah, and then you could tweak their musical setting. So, like, imagine this idea. You have, like, Elvis doing, like, dubstep in your house. Like, how horrifying is that?
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
So, all right. The future is shiny.
It is. So, hey, if you have any thoughts about the future, about the past, sure, why not? We're game. The present, yeah, we'll listen to that too. Especially if you have any thoughts about dreams and nightmares. I'm very interested how many of you have ever died in a dream. And of course not died in real life, because then how would you write us? Because we were talking about this earlier, how you said that you've mentioned that in dream, you've had dreams where you have died or have been about to die. And obviously you're still alive.
Well, yeah, I'm a lucid dreamer, so it was more like a movie, watching myself. There wasn't any sort of real fear there.
Okay. For my part, I don't think I've ever had a dream where I actually died. So it's really fascinating to think about it. But let us know. Tell us all about your dreams and how they line up with this podcast.
Now, who else asks you to do that?
I know. Come on. Everybody loves talking about their dreams. Let us know.
Hit them.
Even if we don't respond, we will read them for sure.
Indeed.
So if you want to check out what we're up to, drop by our Facebook and Twitter feeds. We are Blow the Mind on both of those.
And you can also drop us an email at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.